All right, y'all got to wake up a little bit. Y'all a little too quiet. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Come on. Everybody stand up. Look at your hands. Everybody look at your hands. Come on. Some of y'all got ashy hands. Some of y'all need some lotion. Come on, somebody. Look like you've been juggling powdered donuts. Listen, all of you, y'all see those lines in your hands? All of you have a unique purpose and a destiny and a call of God on your life that is individual to you. You can't do what nobody else can do, and nobody else can do what you can do. Now go ahead, put your hands in the air like this, right? Now go find five people, give them a high five, and tell them we're going to change the world. Come on. Tell them we're going to change the world. Five. I said five. We're changing the world. Let's go. Let's go. Now make some noise. Come on, somebody. I said make some noise. Here we go. Y'all can have y'all seats. Let me tell you what you just did. I want you to know, I love how Scripture says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And each of you have a call and a purpose and a destiny and gifts on your life. And what God does is he put those gifts inside of your hands. And what he wants us to do, and I'm going to read this passage of Scripture in a little bit, he wants us to surrender those gifts back to God. And so when you stood up, you're saying, man, God, and you raise your hands, you're saying, you know, listen, I'm not an owner of anything. I'm a manager of everything. And I'm giving my gifts. I'm giving my talents. I'm giving my skills. I'm giving my life back to you. And then I ask you to go and find five people and give them a high five. Now, when you did that, you had to leave out of your comfort zone. You had to leave out of your space. You had to leave out of where you are and go outside and give somebody a high five and impact them with your gifts, with your skills, and with your abilities. And so I'm going to talk to you very quickly a message today called Roof Rippers. Somebody say Roof Rippers. Now, I'm a black preacher, so I'm going to make you talk to me. Come on, somebody. So somebody say Roof Rippers. All right. And so we're going to talk a little bit about this passage of Scripture. First, I want to give it up to all the teachers and the faculty and the staff. Can y'all come on, put your hands together? Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be here. And Doug, we've known Doug for several years. And also the soccer team. Come on, the soccer team. I got a little bit of bias for the soccer team. Give it up for the boys soccer team. Let's go. And then I actually have a kid here. My son is here, and he goes to this school in his first year, and his name's Jaden. And so we're going to give it up for my son, Jaden, my dude. Let's go. I want to read this passage of Scripture to you in Mark chapter 2. Doug already read it to you, but it says this. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, I love this, that word Capernaum, like this is Jesus's like chief ministry place. Like Capernaum, the Bible even talks about that this is like Jesus's own city. This is the place where he called Philip and Andrew. So like Capernaum is the place that like to do church. And it says this, several days later, the news spread that he was back home. Come on, y'all. This is pre-Snapchat. This is pre-social media. This is pre-Instagram. Like the news was spreading because Jesus was in the house. Like things were going on in this city and people were getting healed and set free and people were coming to find Jesus. And that news was spreading that he was back home. And then guess what? God was doing such a work in this place called Capernaum, in this house. It says that soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, not even a seat. And this is where I kind of find some tension in this passage of Scripture. You know, here's this house where Jesus is. Come on. But like, I can imagine like there's a worship. I like to put myself in the passage of Scripture and kind of illustrate it. And then I kind of add my Jimmy-isms in there. And so what I see is this passage of Scripture, you know, this is, many theologians say that this could be Simon Peter's home. So could it be that Simon Peter is having a church? Come on. Maybe we're calling it Annapolis Area Christian School Church, you know, and Simon Peter's launching this church, and he's invited Jesus. Now, here's the deal, like, whenever you are a pastor, and you're not in the pulpit on that Sunday, you're always trying to land a guest speaker. And so I've had many times where I'm trying to like, you know, who's going to preach when I'm not there? And so I'm calling my friends all over the country and I'm like, hey, yo, can you come preach? So can you imagine Simon Peter has a church in Capernaum and he's looking for a preacher and like he doesn't find Doug. Come on, somebody. He doesn't find Coach Danza. He doesn't find Coach Vaughn. Like they would have been good speakers. They didn't mess around and landed Jesus Christ. Now, can you imagine like the introduction? Like here's Jesus Christ is about to preach this passage of scripture. And then Peter has to have a conversation with Jesus like Doug had with me. And Doug said, listen, you got 25 minutes. Now, if you tell a black preacher you got 25 minutes, that means I'm just getting started at 25 minutes. But he's got to tell Jesus, like, how do you tell Jesus? Like, Jesus, you got 25 minutes. And I'm sure Jesus is like, listen, my dad created time. Like, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Get behind me, Satan. Peter, he says that early in Scripture. And so Jesus is about to preach. They got a worship team. Maybe John the Baptist is rocking on the drums. I don't know what kind of church this is. I don't know if it's a white church or a black church. I don't know if they got skinny jeans or baggy jeans. I don't know if they clap on the one and the two or the three and the four. You don't know what kind of church this is. But are they playing B3 Hammonds or guitars, I don't know. But this is a church. They're having church. But there's a problem in this church. Like, people are coming to get healed. People are coming to get saved. People are coming to get set free. But the problem is there's no more room. But I love what it says. There's no more room because of the crowd. Because of the crowd. I don't ever want to be a church that we make room for Jesus, but we don't make room for paralyzed people. When we make room for Jesus, we don't make room for lost people. When we make room for our own preferences, but we don't make room for people that don't have our preferences. Do you know that you are the gospel? Do you know that the only Jesus that somebody may see is through your story and through your life and to how you respond? And what I love about this church is it says that the place was packed. And here's what I get out of that. Could it be that some of our churches, that not just our churches, but our own spiritual houses, that our own spiritual house, like Jesus is in the spiritual house and he's caused the house to be full. The problem is the house is not full of Jesus. And you may say, well, Pastor Jimmy, well, how do you know that? Because what I know is if Jesus is in the house and people are getting healed and set free and people are coming to find Jesus, we can't run out of room. We can't run out of room for lost people. We can't run out of room for discouraged people. We can't run out of room for people that don't look like us or people don't have our background. Can I tell you what I feel like? I believe that the church is the hope of the world. I believe that the church that God has put us on blocks, that we're not a church on a block, but we're a city on a hill, and God has called us to make room for people that don't look like us, to make room for people that are addicted, to make room for people that are far from God, to make room for people who may not smell like you, to make room for homeless people, to make room for people coming out of the strip clubs. Let me tell you a little bit of something about I-5 City, about our church. Every single week at the 12:30 service, we pick up homeless people and we bring them to our church and we give them showers because we don't want to make room for just church people and not have room for people who need Jesus. I want to have room for people who need Jesus. And it says, while he was preaching God's word to them, come on, Jesus is going over his time. It says, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed guy on a mat, but they couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So what did these four guys do? These four guys, they did something that, like, if that were to happen in here, most of y'all would run out of here. Come on, somebody. Like, can you imagine the roof just coming off this place? And all of a sudden, they lower a guy down in the middle of this chapel. You would freak out. So, you know, like, with this society we live in, we'd be, like, calling. We'd be all Instagramming it, you know, like, all Snapchatting it. Like, no, but they're lowering this guy down. And what did these four guys do? They ripped the roof off the limitations to make more room for people to get to Jesus. And that's exactly what God is calling you to do in your everyday life, is to be a roof ripper. And you may say, well, what is a roof ripper? Well, you see, these guys said, I'm going to do whatever I can do to get lost people to Jesus. We got so many people in our society, so many young people saying, man, what's my purpose? What was I created for? You know, you guys are in a Christian school, and why go through this? And why you know, this level of education, because God is calling you to be roof rippers, to rip the limitations off of what is and start, and so that we can discover as a society what could be. What I have come to discover is the next ideas are in your minds. The next thing of the next move of God could be in your heart. The next way to reach people for Jesus could be in an idea that is in your hands. And that's why God is calling us to rip the roof off. And that's what I tell our church every single week. If we always do the things we've done, we'll always get the things we've gotten. It's time for us to do something different to reach lost people for Jesus. And the church said amen. Amen. Okay, like three of y'all. Man, I want to rip the roof off. And when I look at these roof rippers, there's like four things that they did to say, I need to get this paralyzed guy to Jesus. The number one thing they did is they moved in power and in purpose. They moved in power and in purpose. A few years ago, it snowed a lot here. I'm talking about, if y'all don't know if y'all remember, it was the kind of snow that I'm talking about. You open your door, I was a dad, you lose your kids. Come on, somebody, especially if you white. This kid's just gone. I kind of lost my kids because they mixed. They light skinned, you know, like where y'all? Oh, there they go. Right? Like, and so it snowed so much, and all of our electricity went out. And I was like, man, what are we going to do? And my wife was like, we got to get the electricity on. You know, we got to turn the lights on. I'm scared. I was like, no, we got to turn the electricity on because there's some chicken in that freezer that needs to be fried. Come on, somebody. And that chicken can't go bad. And so I'm going to need you to get that electricity on. So I had a passion. And so I was calling Home Depot. I was calling Lowe's. And I could not find anywhere. And Lowe's finally said, listen, we got generators coming in. And I was like, awesome. And he was like, but you got to get here and hold your place in line. Now, I'm saved, sanctified, redeemed. I'm blood brought. I've got a degree. Like, I love my church. I'm a pastor. But sometimes I'll go back in the right situation. It's just only me. Let me explain what go back means. I'm talking about your before Christ days. And so she said, you got to hold your place in line. So I get there in line, and there's about an 85-year-old woman that's about to cut in line. And I'm like, I don't know. I normally lay hands. Is this a time to throw them? You know what I mean? And I'm trying to figure out. And so this lady, she cuts in line. I had to make sure she didn't go to my church first before I checked her. You know what I'm saying? And so I was like, excuse me, get behind me, Peter. I mean, lady. And so I finally get this generator, and I get this generator home, and we plug in everything that was powerless. You know, we plug in the lights, and we plug in the refrigerator. And I got that freezer plugged in to save that chicken and that electric fryer plugged in. I told my wife, I said, make sure you get that curling iron plugged in because your hair is a mess. Come on, somebody. And so I got everything plugged in. And man, the lights came on. Then I got a little old school hustle in me, so I'm trying to decide if I'm going to sell power to the neighbors. But that's not godly. You know what I'm saying? That's a little hustle. And so we got everything on. A few months ago, our family moved not too far from here. And Jaden was in the garage helping me. And I said, you want to help me move? He said, no. I said, I'll kick your butt. You better help me. He's like, cool. And so he started helping me move. And he said, Dad, what's that over in the corner? And I said, it's a generator. And he says, well, what does it do? And I said, well, what the purpose of it is to plug things that are powerless into it so that they become powerful, so that the lights can come on. Come on, somebody. So that the chicken can get fried, right? And we can generate power. And he says, well, how much did it cost? And I told him it was like $900 when I bought it. And he was like, I was thinking, that's a pair of off-whites. Come on, somebody. Like, come on. I have a shoe issue. If you can see, I have every pair of off-whites that exists. But it's... y'all pray for me. You know what I mean? It's an issue, but I kind of like it. But anyway, and so so we got everything plugged in. And so Jaden's like, listen, so what does it do now? Now it's over in the corner and it's dusty. And I started thinking about that. I started thinking about the call of God on your individual lives. Our job is to plug things that are powerless into our hearts, to plug things that are powerless into the resource of Jesus Christ that we have received individually. And we cannot be relevant in one season and irrelevant in another season just because we go off to college or just because we're not thinking about, you know, lost people right now. But can I tell you, you have to be relevant to plug things that are powerless into your life. You can't sit in the corner. You can't just go to class. You've got to be the gospel outside of the four walls of a church and be the gospel outside the four walls of the school and plug homeless people into your power and plug divorced people into your power and plug hopeless people into your power. We must move in power and in purpose. It is your purpose, universal purpose, to save and seek those who were lost. It is your universal purpose. It is our purpose to be light in darkness. I tell my daughters all the time, I'm like, man, they just like to hang out with Christians. It's like, you can't hang out with Christians all the time. They're like, why? And I was like, because how can you call yourself light if all you're around is light? We got to be in the gospel. We got to be in the world. We got to keep our light shining in dark places so that we can plug people and so that we can operate in power and in purpose. The next thing that I see these two guys do is they're operating in compassion, right? They're moving in power and purpose. They're moving in compassion. This is what I see the generation that we're dealing with right now not have or struggle to have, is empathy and passion or compassion for people who are beneath us. We're going to call them the least of these, people that we don't think that are on our level. And man, I started asking myself the question when I started I-5 City Church. Man, where's my compassion meter? What do I feel about lost people? What do I feel about people who I just can't walk by homeless people. I just can't walk by our houses on our communities and not invite people to church and not be, you know, a light in my area. I got to have compassion. And I felt like I needed to ask myself and ask you this question. Does your heart hurt for the things that hurts the heart of God? Does your heart hurt for the things that hurts the heart of God? I started thinking about compassion, and I brought a little illustration with me. And this is an exercise mat. I don't know it very well, but for the sake of this illustration, this is going to be the mat that guy was laying on. Man, compassion. How did these four guys get compassion for a guy laying on a mat? You know how you keep your compassion up? Is you remember that you were once on a mat. See, what I know about today is everybody's story is not perfect. What I know about right now is everybody's house and living situation is not perfect. What I know is some of us come from diverse backgrounds. What I know is some of us, there might be alcoholism or something, or anger or something, or anxiety or fear and depression that is plaguing our homes right now. And I say, God, how can I keep compassion for people that are on a mat? And I felt the Lord tell me, remember your own mat. Now I know I look comfortable, but all of us have a mat. All of us have something that we're paralyzed in. The Bible says that we all sin and fall short of God's glory. Like all of us, how many of you would be honest to say, man, there's something in my life that I feel like is on a mat? Anybody? The rest of y'all perfect. Come on, somebody. Like, no, there's something in my life. There's something in my life that I want better. And I'm telling you, even at 45 years old, I realized, man, I have a mat. I'm a pastor, but I got a mat. I got a mat, man. I'm like, I used to lay on a mat. I used to be, I have issues. I got kicked out of Bible college. Come on. All of y'all wondering why, right? I got in a fight in Bible college. A guy, I was one of 15 African Americans of 750 students in a Bible college. And the most awful word I got called, that all of us would know that word. And I put a dude in the hospital. And now here's the deal. Here's the deal. It does feel still a little good, I'm not gonna lie. But you know what I've found out? Watch this now. You know what I've come to find out? I used to clap about it too. And now I get a chance to speak all over the country to talk about diversity, to talk about inclusion, to talk about loving people that don't look like you. I spoke at Hillsong, New York a few months ago. I spoke in Hillsong, South Africa a few months ago. And you know what I've come to find out? Is your greatest misery has the potential to be your greatest ministry, if you'll give it back to Jesus. And the thing I got kicked out of Bible college about is now the thing that I get to speak all over the country about and to help people think differently about different races and about different backgrounds. And so, yeah, what I've learned is my ministry. What I've learned, if you want to find out, man, the area that you're effective in, the area that God is calling you to, the area that is a part of your purpose, look at your pain. If you look at your pain, I promise you, you'll discover a path to your purpose. They had compassion. Do you have compassion? And I know here's the deal. Like many of you, you're in high school. You're not really thinking of other people. Like we live in a selfie generation, right? Like, man, everything is selfie. Like I got teenage daughters. I got a senior. My oldest daughter, she's a senior at Arundel. All she takes is selfies all the time. And I'm like, first of all, you're not that attractive. Let's start there. I'm just that dad. I'm sorry. My job is to keep them humble, right? Now she is because she's my child. But anyway, the Bible says that Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to live his life as a ransom. And I'm here to tell you, it's really hard to live a selfless life if you're always taking selfies, if our lives are all about ourselves. So these guys, they moved with power and purpose. They moved with compassion. You know what the next thing they did? They removed the roof. They ripped the roof off, man. You guys are roof rippers. They said, man, they brought this paralyzed guy on a mat back to the church, back to the place where Jesus is. But the Bible says they couldn't get him in. Even outside the door, it was blocked. So what are we going to do? And I studied a little bit about the homes during that time, and they said that they took steps. They took steps. They went higher, and they got a new perspective of how to change the front door of the church. That's what I see when I read that passage. It says, man, I can't get that guy in that door, but I'm going to create a new door. Let me tell you guys something. Inside of your heart, inside of your brain, inside of the palms of your hands is ways to rip the roof off. My daughter says this. She says, Dad, like our church is, I love our church. God's doing some pretty cool stuff at our church. This is how we dress. You don't have to dress up when you come to our church. It's a lot of people. It's about 2,000 people a weekend. God's doing some crazy stuff. And I said, well, she says, Dad, you know, when you changed this and you did this, do you know that, and this is how my daughter talks to me. I apologize if I offend anyone. She goes, one day your ideas are going to suck. I said, you're right. You're right. Because you're a roof ripper. Your job is to do something different than I did. Your job is to take this to the next level. Your job is to find a way to get lost people to Jesus in a new way. That's why I asked you to do that little exercise earlier. I said, what's in your hands? What's in your hands? It's something to rip the roof off of. What's in your hands is purpose. What's in your hands is destiny. What's in your hands is a new idea. These three guys, these four guys, man, I love how they circled this guy. They put a small group around him. And it says, man, we got to get this guy to Jesus. And they ripped the roof off. And the Bible says they lowered the man right down in front of Jesus. Let me tell you a cool way that we ripped the roof off of what church would do years ago. When I started I-5, I decided to start something with my good friend Eric over there, who's now on our staff, I-5 Elite. Many of you may have heard of I-5 Elite Track and Field or I-5 Elite Football. You know what that was? That was us ripping the roof off. And we said, listen, we're not going to do outreach to get people to come to church. We're going to do outreach to take church to the people. And so we started this track and field program 7 years ago, and I don't even know how many national titles do we have now in AAU and USATF? '91. Come on, let's give it up for I-5 Elite. How many students have gotten full rides to college? Five kids that not are just running and impacting a track, but five students that are now impacting a world because there was a church who was willing to rip the roof off. What idea do you have? What thing is God calling you to do that's different than what everyone else has done for you to get lost people to Jesus? Man, I'm telling you guys the stories. If I could tell you, we've got single moms who have come to be a part of I5 Elite, and now they have found relationships. They're now serving in our church. They've given their lives to Jesus. Their kids are now going off and a full ride scholarships. We just sent Eric's son, Eric Allen, just went to USC on a full ride scholarship because we're ripping the roof off. That's also a track plug. If you run track after high school, you can come run for us. We win a lot. You can laugh. And there it is. I like to win. So we're Christians, we're saved, but we'll kick your butt on the track. Come on, somebody. There it is. So we got to rip the roof off. You know what the last thing they did is they moved out. They moved out. They moved with power and purpose. They moved with compassion. They removed the roof. The last thing is they moved out. I love this passage of scripture. I'm going to read the end of this in verse 5. It says, Mark 2, verse 5, it says, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. I love, Doug, how you brought that out, how you talked about, like, this guy came to get healed, right? But Jesus forgives him of his sins. Isn't it kind of crazy that the thing that brought you to church is not actually the thing that God is after? God is not after your healing, he's after your heart. But when he gets your heart, he'll heal you too. I kind of like that. I kind of like how this passage of scripture works. And I don't know about you, if I was this guy and God healed me, I was on a mat my whole life, I was paralyzed, I couldn't move, I wouldn't want the mat anymore. Man, I'd get up and I'd run around, I'd get up and I'd do some jumping jacks, I'd get up and I'd dance a little bit, I don't know. I'd be like, I'm off this mat. And then Jesus says something that's kind of ridiculously awesome. Like if you think about it, it's ridiculous. But if you really look at it, it's awesome. He says, Jesus in verse 10 turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. Can you imagine, like he's saying, man, I don't want this thing. There's scars on it. You guys, all of us have a mat that we've been on, and we want to get delivered from it. And I just believe that there's a different thought when you're talking about purpose and you're talking about destiny. What I believe is what used to carry you, you now can carry. Jesus says, now pick up your mat, go out into the world and change it. And he says, put it on your shoulders. And I'm here to tell you that your story matters, that what you're going through right now matters, and you can't leave it because somebody else needs it. And what I have learned is the Bible says in Revelations that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And I came all the way from Glen Burnie, Maryland, to tell these root riffers to pick up your mat, go out into the city, go out into the world, and change it for Jesus. Thank you.